You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Thank you, Craig. We done found out he can do something else, so you're going to probably see him working more around here. Well, I'm tired and I'm so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning is bright and the light is the light, and the night is as bright as the day. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh, yes, there will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. I see there will be peace, peace in the valley for me.
Second verse, Robert.
Sad. sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. Trouble I see, there will be peace, peace in the valley for me. And there will be peace, peace in the valley for me. Someday. Brother Johnny, sorry I took so long.
Well, good evening. Good morning. Yeah. I was sitting here thinking, I've always tried to be like Joel Osteen, if y'all know Joel Osteen, and he's up all the time and happy all the time and smiling all the time, but tonight I'm kind of down. It's just a rough week. It can sometimes be the, put it vernacular, you might understand, the crap. And sometimes you just want to get rid of it. And tonight I feel that way. And so I'm going to try to be up, but if I get down, just say, he's going through it. Well, speak to you tonight about when God speaks to you and I the second time. And Joan, if you need a Bible, Leland told me we have Bibles, I think, out. Do we have the Bibles out? Yeah, if you need a Bible, would you just raise your hand and they'll make sure you get a Bible? We're going to be in the book of Jonah for just a couple of verses, but if you need a Bible, please raise your hand. I know they've got plenty. And as Leland always says, if you do not have a Bible, keep that one. That's your gift from the rec room. And he can get plenty more. So if you need a Bible, be sure to just take that one home with you and pray that you'll read it and keep it. Before I go to Jonah, I want you to go to Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, right quick. But there's a verse in the Bible in Hebrews that says this: and as it is appointed unto man once to die, then there's going to be a judgment. What that tells me is, once you die, there's still life after death. Because you can't have a judgment if you're dead. Once you're dead, it's over. And so, if I'm going to die, then the Bible says I'm going to face another judgment. I'm going to face a judgment of God. The Bible says that everyone will confess Christ as Savior. And those that confess Christ as Savior will stand in the judgment to be rewarded and to be given the crowns of their work and their righteousness. But there's another judgment in the book of Revelation which says, then the dead in Christ were judged according to their work, and then they that were cast into the lake of fire, which the Bible calls that the second death. And so we understand by the Word of God, because the Word of God is true, that we are going to be judged not only not in this life, I don't think, but in the afterlife. The Bible says that God is gracious and merciful to all and giving all a chance to come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to die without Christ. He doesn't want anyone to die and stand in that judgment in the last days. Because He loves everybody. I've heard people say this, God loves me, and yes, He does. He loves you. I've heard people say He loves you the way you are, but He doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to become like Him and like He is. And so this Bible says that He's appointed and wants to die, but then after that there's going to be a judgment. But I love what Genesis 1 and chapter 1 says about God. It says, but God said. But God said. But God said that He was going to send His only begotten Son to this planet, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. A life that you and I can't even comprehend. The Bible says that our eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into our heart the things that God has prepared for those that love Him, that worship Him, that honor Him, that go to heaven His way. The Bible says God has got such a creation that you and I cannot see. Beyond these stars, beyond this universe, somewhere beyond, as the song says, somewhere beyond the blue, God waits for you and me with open arms. Those that come to Christ His way. So if you've got your Bible, Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And you know the story about Jonah. God had told Jonah, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to Nineveh, and I want you to tell Nineveh that I love them. And I want you to tell Nineveh that they need to change their ways, that they need to come to me and ask me to forgive them and of their sins, and then they can also have a home in heaven." But we know the story. Jonah said that he didn't like Nineveh. He didn't like the people of Nineveh. They were enemies. And so he got on the ship and headed toward a place called Tarshish, which is totally the opposite direction to where God had told him to go. And he was being rebellious against God. He is telling God, "No, I'm not going to do it your way. I've got a better way. I don't like those people. And since I don't like those people, I'm not going to go tell them. I'm going to do it what I think is best. I don't want them to be saved, so I think I'll just go to Tarshish." Well, you know the story also. He created this big fish. And after a while of haggling with the ship guys, they finally decided, "Yeah, Jonah, you're the problem. A big wind come up and about to sink the ship." They'd done everything physically they could do to save the ship. And finally they just ran out of options. And finally they said, "Okay, we're going to draw straws." And back in the old days, you could either draw straws and they would pray about it and seek God. And the one that came up, I guess, with the short straw was the one that was causing all the trouble. And Jonah came up with the short straw. And so he says, "Well, if you'll just throw me overboard, everything will be cool. The sea will come back to calm and everything will be okay." So they did. They threw him overboard, expecting him to die. But God had prepared this miraculous fish for him to live 3 days in. And I couldn't explain that to you, how God does that, but I know God does that. He created this big fish and he swallowed up Jonah. Jonah lived in that fish's belly for 3 days and three nights until he came to the point that he said, "I hate this. I hate living like this. There's no one down here to love on, no one to love me. There's not much fun down here being in a fish's belly, I'm sure. I've never been in one, but I'm sure there wasn't a whole lot to do down there." And he said, "You know what? I can't stand this." So he said, "God, if you'll listen to me, if you'll talk to me, if you'll forgive me, I want to be forgiven." And God said, "Okay." So he told the fish to go spurt him up on the ocean or the beach. And sure enough, he went over there and spurred him up on the beach. And then Jonah 3, chapter 1 is where we take off at this. And look what it says. God had already spoken to him once. He denied. He left. Didn't do it. And went all through this. It says in Jonah 3, 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee, that I tell thee to do." Jonah, okay, I'm going to do what you ask. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to do all you've asked me to do. And then the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the Bible says, the second time. So my title tonight, if I had a title, would be this: When God Speaks to You the Second Time. Because can I tell you, all of us have messed up. From the very beginning, when Adam and Eve were created and they failed God, the Bible says that they became sinners. They weren't sinners. They became sinners. I tell people all the time, if sin were blue and you cut our veins, we would bleed blue blood. Because we are sinners through and through. We sin because we're sinners. And so, we have messed up. Even in our generation, when we think we've got it all together and everything's cool and everything's politically correct, when you get down to the basics of everything, we're just lost sinners is what we are. We're just sinners that need a Savior. God spoke to us from the beginning, said, "If you'll not sin, you'll live forever in that garden." God says, "I'm going to create a paradise for you where you will never have any sorrows, any death, any sadness, or you won't have any, it'll all just be wonderful." I got to think of the other day, I wonder if the Garden of Eden is actually in heaven now. Because it was created sinless and everything was good there and everything was great there. And God says, that's what heaven is going to be like. But he said, "Jonah, I'm going to speak to you one more time. I'm going to give you one more chance. get it right this time. And I want you to go down there and preach. So the first thing I thought about when I was thinking about these things, when God speaks to you the second time, it means that actually you messed up the first time. It sure did. You see, we live by the choices that we decide to make in life. Every choice we make has a consequence. You've probably heard of the actress Lindsay Lohan. I was watching the other day on Parent Trap, the movie that she was in. She's a brilliant, talented actress. But her choices have got her life in a tailspin. Seems like everything she does ends her up back in court. Back in front of the judge. Back in saying, well, I'm trying the best I can. I'm doing all I can. Lindsay Lohan believes that she's probably being treated unfairly by everybody. She's probably saying, you know what? My life is my business. I will do my life the way I want to, and it shouldn't pertain to you. But what Lindsay keeps forgetting is that our worlds have laws that you're to live by. We have things that we have to do, and there's consequences when we don't do that. So I wrote down, Lindsay's only reaping from the choices she's made in her life. Now, she hasn't spent a lot of time in jail, but she's always in court or something, and they're giving her more chances than most of us have ever gotten in our lives, probably. And I'm sure she hates appearing before that judge, sitting there knowing that this judge is a poor judge that doesn't make any money. And Lindsay's probably saying, you know, I'm an important person. People know me all over the world. I'm very rich. I'm very famous. People know me. You shouldn't be talking to me the way you talk to me. I'm sure that's what she feels like. But you see, she's broken the law. And she may not like it. She may not like the consequences. She may not like the judgment the judge gives out. But it doesn't matter what she likes or what she thinks. When she broke the law has a right to stand in her and judge her for what she has done wrong, because we have laws in our land. And can I tell you, for some of us in this room tonight, 2:11 or 2:12 or 2:09 and 10 have been some bad choices. We've done some things that we felt like we ought to have the right to do. And yet every time we do them, we make choices, we get caught, and then we face the judgment of our court system and our laws and all those things. I've noticed people only ask for help when they actually come to the end of themselves. When they just find out that I'm just totally messed up. I need help. The story of the prodigal son, and most of you know that story too. It's about a young guy that lived at home with his dad and an older brother, and he just got to the point that he thought he wanted to have his way and have his life, and he wanted it now. So he went to his dad, you know the story, went to his dad and said, Dad, I want everything that's coming to me. And he didn't realize what all was going to be coming to him later down the road, but he wanted all the good stuff. And I noticed the prodigal son never came to the father as long as he had some friends to party with. The father probably never even came to his mind. And I noticed the prodigal son didn't seek out his father either, probably as long as he had some of that inheritance left in his pocket to spend. The prodigal son came to the father when it says he came to himself. When he was eating of the stuff that the pigs eat out of, he said, my father, servants eat better than I do. My father's servants are happier than I'm happier. All of those things make them happier. He didn't seek the father till he found out he was totally lost. Totally the choices he had made had messed his life up. And can I tell you, the first choice that we messed up was when we commit sin, knowingly commit sin. Now there are some people, kids, young boys and girls, the Bible says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is sin. I believe that you come to the age where you realize sin is sin. That's the reason I believe that babies and children that do not understand sin, if they were to die, they go to heaven to be with God. That's the reason I believe, and not to be ugly, but people that have a learning disability and can't really distinguish right from wrong and the things that goes on in their life and in this world, that God has not given them a pass, but they get to go to heaven because they haven't understood what sin is. But as I look around this room tonight, I would dare say that all of us know what sin is. All of us know that we have committed wrong before God. And the proverb says this, for whosoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. That's what that first choice of ours did. The Bible says sin separates us from God. We have no hope. We have no relationship with the God of this universe because sin, God hates sin. That's the reason that Jesus died on the cross. He became sin. He wasn't a sinner, but he took my sin upon himself, and God hates sin so much that he would even dare kill his own son. And if he'd dare kill his own son, believe you me, he'll kill me. He would kill you. If he'll kill his only begotten son because of sin, I don't have a hope. I have no hope. And so the second thing I thought about is this. When God speaks to me the second time, he's just extending to me grace. Something that I don't deserve. Maybe you could relate. When I lived at home, my dad was a big guy. He was 6'4", 250 something pounds. And he could be a mean little rascal. But oftentimes, when I disobeyed him, he would say this, "Johnny, if you don't stop, if you don't come in, this is the last time I'm telling you." You ever had a parent or somebody tell you, "This is the last time I'm telling you"? But sure enough, I could still be keep doing it many times, again and again. And my dad would just say, "This is the last time." I'd do it again. He'd say, "Johnny, this is the last time." I finally found out how my mom and dad worked. When they said, "Johnny, this is the last time," I was okay. There was no problem with that. But when they said, "Johnny Wayne, this is the last time," I picked my stuff up and head right wherever they told me to go because I knew that was the last time. Did you know that God has told you, he that sinneth, the soul that sinneth will die? But God said, he wants us to live forever with him in heaven. He wants us to enjoy the things that he has created from the foundation of the world. He wants you and I to live with him throughout eternity. Because he's a God of the second chance. All of us have a nature like Jonah. God has told us to do things. We just didn't want to do it. I don't want to do what you tell me to do because I want to be my own captain. I want to be the one that tells me how I'm going to live my life. I want to do what I want to do. And when I end up doing those things, I end up some of the time, making wrong choices in my life, and I reap what I sow. I reap what I sow. It's our nature. But it's amazing how good we think we are when we're doing right, doesn't it? We forget about the bad things we do. When I'm doing good, I think my past is just forgiven and I don't even remember it. But do you know that God says he never forgets anything? He never forgets my old past, my past, and my future, my present, my future. The Bible says he knows all of that. The truth is you and I are in such deep sin that the only way to get it forgiven is through God. Because he says if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I tell you, if you've been to confessional, I think that's what they call them, and the priest said, "Now tell me your sins, my son," and you tell the priest your sins, and he says, "Your sins are forgiven," he has no power or right to forgive you your sins. He cannot. He's a sinner too. If you come to me and say, "Would you forgive me my sins?" I say, "I can't. I can't do that. I don't have the right or the authority." Only God, the Bible says, can forgive sins, and he will do that through Jesus Christ. You see, he's a God that extends mercy. Even though I'm supposed to die and go to hell, God said if I will accept his grace and forgiveness, I get to go to heaven. I did that when I was 29 across the street at the old auditorium of the Temple Baptist Church. I come to faith in Christ. And I didn't understand all I did. I mean, I went forward and a guy named Jack Watkins took me and read some scripture about how if I confess my sins and he's going to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me and all those things. And I didn't understand that. I didn't even know the depths of my sin, to tell you the truth. I didn't really think I was that bad of a guy. And he read some scriptures and told me that if I would change my life. You see, a lot of times we say, "Well, just say this prayer. Believe, do this and do that and you're going to be saved." Listen, saying a prayer will never save you. Saving a prayer is inviting God to change your life. You see, I got saved when Jesus came into my life and changed me and I gave Him my life. The Bible says that we are to give our life a ransom, a sacrifice to God, and let Him have our life. That's what Jonah did. When he said, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm dead in my sin, but would You forgive me? And it changed Jonah completely. Changed his life. Until your life is changed, you're not saved. You may have made 100 confessions. You may have asked God to forgive you 100 times. But the Bible says until we come to a true repentance, a true salvation in Christ, we're not going to be saved. We're not going to enjoy the things of heaven. It says this, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness through Jesus Christ. When I gave my life to Him, I said, Lord, I'll do my best to live for You. I'll do my best to forsake my sin and call upon You and allow You to live through my life. And He changed me drastically. If you could have known me before, I was as worthless as anybody on this planet. I lied, I stole, I cheated. I did so many things that, like you did. I'm just like you. Okay? I've done things that I shouldn't have done. And every time God forgave me. But I noticed that not all people are willing to forgive you, give you a second chance. I've known people that have cheated in their marriage. And the husband and wife won't give you a second chance. I've noticed when you maybe get crossways with your kids, a lot of times your kids don't give you a second chance. And you do something against the boss, and the boss says, well, you're fired. Well, could you? No, you're out of here. Get out of here. Bosses want to give you a second chance. But the God of the universe will give you a second chance. He will speak to you a second time. And then the third thing I thought about when God speaks to you a second time, it means God has a desire for your life. I want to say, when God comes to you a second time, it's because He desires something for you. He desires for you to have a life that is overflowing, that is abundant, that is more than you could ever expect it. He says, I come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And can I be a witness to that? God has blessed my life. I have an 11th grade education. I've got a diploma, but I don't think I earned it. I think they just gave it to me to get me through school. I attended Ector on the when it was a junior high school. I got kicked out of there, and they said, you're going to have to go somewhere else. Mr. Guffey said, we'd like for you to graduate, but you ain't graduating here. So he kicked me out of school. I went to Odessa High, graduated, didn't know anything. I think they gave me the diploma. I had to call my kids one time. I called my wife one time on the phone, and I said, Kathy, I'm struggling here with this word. And this is a true story. I'm struggling with this word. I know it, but I can't seem to get it out. Could you help me with it? She said, well, what's the word? And this is the God's truth. I said, was. I could not remember how to spell was. My kids heard about it. And today I don't live that one down. But you see, even in my stupidity, God loved me. God loves me. God is determined to love me and to seek me and to seek you as long as I live on this planet. He will send people my way. He will send preachers my way. He will send Christians my way. He will send rec rooms my way. He will send Saturday churches my way. He will send radio preachers, television preachers, the Bible. He will send everything He can my way because He wants me to live forever with Him. He wants to be my Father. He wants to bless me. He wants to provide for me. But I have to come to God His way. You see, I can't get to heaven the Baptist way. I know Baptists think we got it down, we got it nailed down, we got it all firm. But there ain't no Baptist way to heaven. And there ain't no Pentecostal way to heaven. And there ain't no Catholic Church of Christ. There's a God way to heaven. And the only God way is through Jesus Christ. I wrote down, you can reject God's love. You can reject God's mercy and you can reject God's offer of a new life. But you cannot reject His judgment. Because when He judges, the final judgment will extend through that life. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise as some count slackness. That means, well, if I'm a sinner, then how come God doesn't kill me right now? I dare Him to kill me. I bet you won't kill me. I bet you won't do it. I dare you to kill me right now. And He probably won't do it. You know why? Because He loves you too much. and he knows we're too dumb when we say stuff like that. He lets us know. Some count slackness. Well, if he's not going to come, but I'm going to say, but it says he's long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what God does. God desires for you and I to live with him forever. But can I tell you there's only one way to do that? There's not three ways, five ways, 10 ways. There's not any way. There's one way. The Bible says that we come to faith through Jesus Christ, and only through him will we live. So I wrote this down. When God speaks to you a second time, it's extending an opportunity to make a better choice. You see, we've all made that first choice of where it just messed up, but now he's given us a second chance. When God speaks to you a second time, he's offering you a chance to get it right. He's offering you a do-over. He's offering you a chance to get your past cleansed and your future secure in him. And there's two words that will change your life, and it's these words, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I've done it. Will I fail again? Absolutely. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. That's all I am. I'm full of sin. But when I come to sin now, I come to my Father and I say, Father, I sinned against you. That was wrong for me to do that. That was wrong for me to say. That was wrong for me to act like that. Please forgive me. And the Bible says he forgives me completely. Will I make another bad choice in life? Yes, I will. And so will you. We're not going to be perfect until we get to heaven. But it's beautiful what God does with our failures when you come to him and make the right choice. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from that word believe, if you look it up, it means I change all my belief system is gone that I had and I'm putting your belief system in here. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to live what you tell me to live. I'm going to do it right this time. That's our belief system. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. See, there's no other way, the Bible says, to God except through Jesus. So I thought this thought, whoever is on God's side is on the winning side, and you'll never lose. But whoever is on the other side of God is on the losing side, and you can't win. You can't fight against God. He's too big. If he can speak the world and the universe into existence and put the planets where he wants them and the stars where he likes them to shine and tells the wind what to do and the sea where to go, you and I don't have a chance. We don't have a chance against him. But without faith, it's impossible to please him because those that please him must come to him in faith. Can I ask you a question tonight? Have you taken this opportunity of your second chance? Have you come to faith in Christ? Have you asked him to forgive you and take your sin away and take your pride away and take your arrogance away and just put him in your life? That's the only way to do it. That is the only way to do it. Here's the question, Matt. If you have it, would you? Before you die, you see, God's going to love you every day that you spend on this planet. But after you die, the Bible says you're going to stand the judgment of God. You've got a Bible. I'm just foreclosed. John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3, 36. I know we know John 3, 16, but let's look at John 3 and 36. He says this, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But, he says this, who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God is going to abide upon you. There's a real hell. I know it's not politically correct to talk about it. I know people don't like to hear about it, but there is one. There is one. And one of these days, God's going to have to send somebody to that place. But it doesn't have to be you. It does not have to be you. You have an opportunity tonight to make a right choice. To get a second chance. Just because you were raised in church, your mama went to church, your grandma went to church, that does not matter. You have to make a personal choice of your own that I'm giving him my life. I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm giving him everything. Would you bow with me right now? I just want to pray for us before we leave. We've got a few minutes tonight. Can I ask you a question? Are you in here tonight and maybe you've never really made that choice? Maybe you're still living in that first time when you made the choice to sin against God, to rebel against God. I'm not anything special, but I'd like to pray for you tonight. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you say, I've never made the second choice that would change my life, would you mind just honestly raising your hand? Nobody's looking around, and I'm going to pray for you tonight that God will bless you and help you. Anybody like that in the room? You say, yes, ma'am, I see your hand. I see your hand. You can put it down right after you get through. Anybody else? You'll say, would you? I need prayer tonight. I've struggled. Yes, ma'am. I'm struggling. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting right where you're sitting. Yes, sir. I've struggled with that decision. But I'm telling you, folks, Jesus came to save you tonight. Jesus came because the Father cares about you and wants to love you, wants you to spend eternity with Him, with all the glories it has to offer. Maybe you're here tonight and you said, I've made that decision in my life, but I've just rebelled and I've turned. What that actually means, you're just being prideful and wanting to do it your way. Maybe you just like to come. A Christian will be here to pray with you tonight. If you just like to come and say, you know, I've messed my life up, I've made some choices that weren't good, get forgiven, and they'll pray with you. You can do it right where you're sitting. But whatever you need to do tonight, I pray you'll do it. You see, you don't know what tomorrow holds. This might be the last night of this planet before God comes, or maybe the last night of your life. What do you need to do? Would you mind standing with me as I pray? If you need to come, why don't you come? Father, some of these folks raise their hand that they've never made that second choice. I pray you'd bless them tonight. I pray you'd give them the courage to come and say the things they need to say to you. Not to me or to these people, but to you. And there's a Christian here to pray with them. So I'm going to invite you to come. Why don't you come tonight? If you need to make that second choice, why don't you come? Let a Christian pray with you. Let a Christian show you in the Bible what God says about salvation. Do you need to come? Maybe you'd just like to come and pray on your own and say, God, I'm sorry for the way I've lived my life and acted like I don't even know you. Anybody like that tonight? Anybody? We're not going to long. We're not going to linger long. If you need to come, why don't you come? Anybody? Before we close.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Well, Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the warning that you give us. The warning that we have an opportunity before it's too late. That we have an opportunity to accept heaven and accept Jesus as our Savior and make heaven our eternal destiny. You said to the rich man, depart from me into everlasting torment. Lord, that's what will happen to those that refuse. So I pray you'll give everyone in here, maybe that needed to make a choice, but just was fearful or too prideful. Lord, give them another chance tonight, I pray. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the rec room tonight. Thank you for all that showed. May you bless their life. It's our prayer in Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.